This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Kazakhstan's leader says violent protests have been contained, but will life and business go back to normal? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. In a televised address, the Kazakh president said order has been restored after days of anti-government demonstrations, but he said security forces are still allowed to open fire without warning against those he called terrorists. His comments follow protests sparked by outrage over rising fuel prices. And though the fuel price cap has been reimposed to calm rising prices, the BBC's Abdul Jalil Abdurasilov explains life in the commercial capital is getting increasingly difficult.
Almost all shopping malls and restaurants, cafes, supermarkets, they're all pretty much closed. And people now really struggle to buy food. And only small shops are still working. And some of them are also running out of food products. And I spoke to several residents of Almaty, and they said that they couldn't find bread. And there are also massive queues at petrol stations, again, because there are limited supplies of petrol. And for citizens of Almaty, this whole scene is quite shocking.
That's the BBC's Abdul Jalil Abdurasilov reporting from the commercial capital there. Checking the numbers now, as Kazakhstan's government continues to try to control the situation there on the ground, the nation's bond prices have recovered some ground. London-listed shares of its biggest uranium producer are also up more than 6%. Elsewhere, global stock markets are little changed as investors continue to fret about global inflation. In the U.S., investors are also awaiting the release of the December jobs report due out in just a couple of hours. It's expected to show hiring picked up at the end of the year. Medical experts and world leaders have been discussing the need for equity in global coronavirus vaccine distribution almost since the pandemic began. Now, a group of 65 investment firms are trying to make it happen by targeting executive bonuses of the world's biggest vaccine makers. The BBC's Jonathan Josephs explains.
Well, these investment companies, Victoria, are saying that there should be more financial incentives for the bosses of the big drug makers to get the whole world vaccinated and not just concentrate on richer countries that are more able to afford the vaccines. They have written these 65 firms, which manage almost $3.5 trillion worth of assets between them, to the boards of Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson. And in that letter, they highlight the roadmap laid out by the World Health Organization, which has got a specific role for drug makers in it, and it calls for them to be more transparent about production schedules and also to prioritise contracts with COVAX and AVAP, which are two coalitions which are looking to improve the distribution of vaccines in poorer countries. These investment firms specifically want the drug makers to, quote, integrate the WHO goals into the executive remuneration strategy in a meaningful, material, measurable and transparent way. Here's Roger Krenz, who is the chief investment officer of Achima Investment Management, the Netherlands-based company which has led these calls.
We have a very large coalition of investors, so by that we have quite a strong voice. I'm not saying they will change overnight just because of our letter, but they definitely listen and it definitely has an influence.
For the drug makers' parts, they are saying that they are doing their part and that they have put a substantial amount of vaccines into low-income and middle-income countries, that they haven't just concentrated on the countries that are more able to afford these vaccines.
Now, this letter and the things that it's calling for all seem like a good humanitarian contribution, but more equitable vaccine distribution would also benefit these investment companies, wouldn't it, Jonathan?
That's right, Victoria, because this group of investment firms, they are very conscious of the ethical investing perspective here. They say that's important to them, that they want to do their part to help humanity here. But they also are very honest about the economic incentives here, that it makes a lot of financial sense to improve vaccine distribution. Because if you think about it, governments have imposed less restrictions on those people who are vaccinated in many different countries. Those people are then able to play a more active role in economies, such as going to restaurants, nightclubs and entertainment venues, for instance, which helps the economy to grow and to recover from some of the damage inflicted by the pandemic so far. And so when economies are thriving like this, it helps the investment firms do better with their money that they're managing on behalf of pension funds and other clients and to get a better return on it. And I think the scale of that was underlined by an assessment from the International Monetary Fund, which said that over 5 years, the unequal distribution of vaccines could cost the global economy as much as $5.3 trillion in lost output. So a really big sum is at stake here.
The BBC's Jonathan Josephs, thanks for breaking this down for us.
A pleasure speaking to you, Victoria.
Since the start of the year, British steel companies have operated at a significant competitive disadvantage to their European rivals. That's because a new deal between the US and the European Union allows EU companies to export steel to America again, importantly, tariff-free. The UK has not done such a deal, and the impact of that is already being felt, as the BBC's Chris Morris reports.
At a foundry in Chesterfield, raw materials are being melted in a furnace to make cast iron bars. Steel and cast iron are no longer a huge chunk of the British economy, but if your job depends on them, they still really matter. Now, because of the American tariffs of 25% on products from the UK, this company, United Cast Bar Limited, is moving some of its production to a factory in Spain. But if the UK manages to do a deal to get rid of the US tariffs, will all that production come back?
Probably not. It really depends on how early the deal is done.
James Brand is Managing Director of Foundries at UCB.
Once our customer over there in North America gets used to the Spanish product, it's highly likely we'll just leave it over there. Lost to the UK completely then.
Steel.
Back in 2018, this was President Trump signing an order to bring in the tariffs on national security grounds to help protect American jobs. And for the UK, at least, the Biden administration hasn't really changed course.
I've agreed with you many times, but this is the first time as President of the United States.
Neither public diplomacy nor private negotiation has yet led to any breakthrough. Both the UK and the EU have retaliated with tariffs of their own against products like American whiskey. But it's the EU that's got a deal done first.
They are just bigger, so they account for more steel exports to the US.
Soumaya Keynes from The Economist points out
that means there's more of an interest in getting it resolved from US importers. Because there's more trade involved with the EU, the retaliation hurts more.
For ministers and officials in London, there is an added complication. Political concern in Washington about British threats to suspend parts of the post-Brexit deal with the EU on Northern Ireland could delay the quite separate negotiations with the Americans on steel. But the government certainly hopes the dispute can be resolved soon, before it gets worse. And the message from industry is pretty clear. James Brand again.
Let's get a deal brokered as soon as possible and put us on a level playing field with the rest of Europe.
But in matters of trade, many things are easier said than done.
That's the BBC's Chris Morris reporting there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.